Good morning, guys. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today. It's such an honor to serve God and worship God together this morning. I just want to quickly, as I was praying, just wanted to share with you. You know, I don't know how your week's been. Sometimes, you know, we go through really difficult weeks. Sometimes we go less challenging weeks. And this week has been like somewhat very challenging for me too. But, you know, sometimes we have shiny days, right? And it's very evident that God is there. God's grace is over us. But sometimes we have cloudy days. But just because the clouds hides the sun behind it doesn't mean the sun is not there. You look around, you see the effect, the impact that sun has. Things are still growing. The warmth is still felt despite its cloudy day. Our God is always there with you. God is always with us. Let's continue to trust him as we continue in our worship. I pray that your heart will be after him, trusting. My back continues to be very challenging for me, especially this morning and last night. It was very, for those of you who do not know, I have a degenerative disc condition, and then it's been somewhat problematic. This was a little bit challenging. But I thank God for his grace, for being with me, and then allowing me and giving me strength to get up to share his words with you guys this morning. So let's go to the word. It's Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. We're going to read from the ESV version. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Let's do alternate reading. So I read one verse. You guys read the following verse. So let me start. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." They signaled to their partners in other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. Let's read all together. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Today I want to share the word of God with you, and it's called the true worship. Worship is not only essential to who we are and what we do, but what our God desires so much. Worship is more than relevant to why we gather together this morning and what makes us who we are. Worship is beyond the issue of identity in Christ Jesus. We don't just worship because we are now Christians, in other words. Worship is about his grand picture. Just like one day God had this just brilliant idea. What will I do with these people who are so sinful, so wicked, and who cannot enter my presence no more? What can I do? And the worship was his best idea that he offered to you and me. Through worship now, we can enter his presence. Through worship now, we know how holy he is and how wicked was. And through worship, we now understand the grace of God. And through worship, now we can finally be together with God who loves us so much. Worship was a great idea that God had for you and me. So worship was from God. It was given to us from Him. Worship initiated from with God. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, "We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." We had no means to come to God. We had no ways to come to God. When and such a place, God made it possible for you and me, for us to enter. That is through worship. But Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says this, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we are still sinners, Christ died for us." We are not even thinking about coming to God. We had no clue. Even then, God had brilliant ideas about how to bring us to Him. And He made all this possible through Jesus Christ. Worship, once again, was God's brilliant idea. He was more than practical solution for you and me. It was an amazing, amazing plan that He had for you and me. That means that He first came to us and gave us that reason to worship. He provided a sacrifice so that a sacrifice so that we can enter His presence. He opened the door to His throne. He provided the anointing and the Spirit so we can be guided and fueled and be emboldened so we enter His presence, so that we can be further led into His presence. Worship was something that He desired so much. It was His idea for all of us. When I say us, it doesn't mean us here, the people who have gathered. Now, I don't mean just believers. When He says God's idea for us, means that it's us, all the believers, and God together. Worship, therefore, is beautiful and amazing because it's from Him, because it was made possible by Him, because it was His desire, His passion for you and me. That's why worship is so beautiful. We have been thinking about and talking about the worship for the last couple of weeks now, and we've been looking at it from different angles. And today, Holy Spirit once again lays upon my heart to talk about worship one more time. So hear me out. Today I want to talk about true worship. True worship is not about having a shining moment on Sunday morning. It's not about having a glimpse of His glory on Sunday morning. Perfect true worship is not about making Sunday somewhat more holy than other times. God desires so much more than that for you and me. Not a glimpse of His glory, but a full view of His glory. So God desires true worship for all of us. And true worship is about making Jesus shine in your life. Jesus is full manifestation of God's glory, and therefore allowing your life to become holy. In other words, true worship is following Jesus Christ, keeping up with His footsteps. What does that require of you? To be guided by Holy Spirit, who wants to make Jesus shine in your life. Let me use an illustration for you and me today, this morning. This is not exactly a pendulum, but this is my Brazilian whistle. So you can make three different pitches. Yeah, but anyway, I'm going to use this as a pendulum today as an illustration. Okay, let's say this pendulum motion represents worship. God had a desire, and He had a beautiful plan in the beginning, and He danced with us, gave us life, eternal life, to have abundant life, lacking nothing. It was worship, life with God, being with God, abiding in Him. Then the dance came to full stop because of sin. The beautiful life came to stop. The life of worship stopped. Then through Jesus Christ, we now can have that groove again in our life. He set us in the motion again. Now we know how to dance to the rhythm of God's grace. We now can feel His heartbeat so close to us. True worship is constant motion of worship. True worship is constant motion with God, living with God, following His lead. However, when we walk away from this place and then we just go about living our life, once again, this groove stops because we are no longer dancing with him. We stop following him, then worship stops. That's not worship is all about. Once again, true worship is constant motion with God, following Jesus Christ. So motion stops eventually once again. I don't know if you have experienced in your life, you had a great time of worship on Sunday morning, and you walk away, and you find yourself, how did I end up here? I have no sight of God anywhere in my life. Worship stopped somehow. Then you come back to church on Sunday morning, and in that place, once again, by the grace of God, through the help of the Holy Spirit, you learn to dance again. God set you in the motion again. Then you try to jumpstart by the grace of God through the help of the Holy Spirit, and you are in the motion again. Then you start following him. So eventually, the worship stops, the life in Christ stops, the motion stops. You find yourself dead inside. I don't know if you've been, that's been the pattern in your life, but that's not what worship is all about. The worship is constant motion with God. That means that we have to continually be led by him, continue to be fueled and energized by him. If you say that the worship is what we do here, then your worship life must look like this. But while Holy Spirit is speaking in this place, I want so much more for you. I want to give you the full swing of motion each and every day, the true worship. I believe that that is what God wants to convey to you this morning. And you have to let him drive your life. You must allow yourself to be led by him, by his Spirit. True worship is not about having shining moments in Sunday morning once again. It's not about preachers. It's not about the singing songs that we sing in this place. It's not about the prayers that we put together in this place. It's not about an offering. But true worship is about making Jesus shine, making Jesus center of your life. That's what true worship is about. What is worship without following Jesus Christ, without abiding in him? What is worship without making him the center and everything of your life? Let me further explain this from the scripture. So let's go to those two places in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3. It goes like this. If his offering is burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and that he may be accepted before the Lord. And you follow the book of Leviticus and continue to say that all the offerings that the Israelites were required to bring to God had to be without any blemishes. You had to be pure. You had to be clean. And then said, then it will be acceptable. Let us go to now to Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 verse through 10. Let me read this for you. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, God is speaking here, if then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Where is the reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? This is the Israelites saying. But offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying the Lord, saying that the Lord's table may be despised. This is now God says, when you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governors. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand. In the book of Malachi, it's talking about how Israelites were bringing the sick, lame, impure, with a lot of blemishes, animals for sacrifice. We heard from the book of Leviticus where God said, bring me animals without blemish. But we see that the reality of Israelites' life was that they are bringing all the sick animals to God. Why would God say to Israelites, does God eat the meat that, you know, Israelites bring to him? Does it really matter? Why did God ask him to bring me the fine choice? Why do you think that God said it? Do you think he was trying to burden them? No. It was to teach them to walk with God, to continue to engage with him, to put him in the center of life. Therefore, you are begin to live with him. That was it. You know, they were nomads, right? They're herdsmen. They were known for sheep. That's what the Israelites were. And their life was basically about, you know, Baba the black sheep. Really. Their housings on the first floor had animals, especially the sheep. You know, they take care of it each and every day. They look after that each and every day. They pass by that each and every day. And as they pass by it, as they are planning to come to God, they're thinking, that one is for God. I got to take care of it. That one is for God. You know, they have to put God first. They have to put God in the center of their life as their life, the circle of their life, center around this sheep. You guys follow me? However, when Israelites began to chase after idols, what do? They start bringing God the leftovers. What is leftover? They didn't think about God. Oh, I have to go meet God today. I have to engage with him in the worship. God told me to come. Well, here's a sheep. Let me bring it to him. That's what was happening to Israelites. Once their motion with God, once their dance with God stopped, God was no longer the center of their life. And God said, that worship is invalid. I don't accept that. There's no such a thing as half-hearted effort. Either you try or you don't try. There's no such a thing as half marriage. Either you're married or you are not married. Lame and sick, the animals represented half-heartedness and idolatrous life of Israelites. And God said, that's not a life of worship. Let me tell you again, true worship is about not about this moment that we have here. True worship can only be done when you submit your life to him. True worship is about your life. God does not want the part of your life. God wants entirety of your life. Allow God to set you on the motion today. And allow God to continue to fill your life and guide your life. Follow Jesus Christ. Let the true worship take place in your life. You know, we read a beautiful story today from the book of Luke. And this story is about Jesus who came to Peter and who set him on the motion and who had him follow him all the way. You know, this is very amazing. Just like how we talked about earlier, you know, how God started the worship, how God, you know, enabled us to come to him, just like that. You know, at the time, the verse 1 says that Jesus noticed Peter and his boat and entered his boat. The first century, the historians' records says that there were about 300 to 400 fishing boats at operation each and every day. So we know for a fact there are more than Peter's boat at the time. But God chose Peter on that day to enter his boat, to enter his life, so he can set him in the motion, so he can teach him how to dance with him, so he can cause him to follow him. He had three difficulties, three challenges now. This challenge is what I find that the somewhat challenges that you and I have to have the true worship in our life. First challenge that he had, that he caught nothing throughout the night. Second challenge that he had was carpenter just told the fisherman how to fish. The last one was that he realized he was in the presence of living God. Three challenges. Those three challenges, the moment of vulnerability could have set him off and said, you know what, I don't want. Jesus, I'm tired. I don't want to give you this moment because I want to go home. I fish all night. I want you to ask someone else. He could have said that. Second, Like he said, I tried all night. There's no fish around here. I tried. I know. I've been fishing all my life. But you tell me how to fish. He could have said that, I know better. He could have said, no, I don't want to follow your commands. He had that moment of vulnerability. Lastly, he had a third last moment of vulnerability, which was he realized that he was in the presence of living God. And he says, immediately, go away from me. Go away from me. When we, our life too, we have those moments of vulnerability. You had really a tough day. You had a really tough week. You had a really tough month. And because of that, I have no time for God. Because of that, I cannot come to worship. God, I've been praying for this, and I thought this is the way that you are leading me to, and I don't know what you're thinking because nothing is working now. Your ways, my ways. I don't know. I'm so confused. And some people walk away. I cannot believe that God cares for me no more. Lastly, I've sinned so much that I can go back to God. I heard that many times in my life. People keep coming to me and say, I have sinned against God, and I cannot come to God no more. We all have those three vulnerabilities that could prevent you from having the true worship in our life. But chapter 4 is beautiful. The previous chapter, chapter 4, Jesus declares something amazing. I came to give good news to all the poor, to set the captives free. You know, he was talking that, you know, that I'm going to give you something revolutionary. You know why? Because it was during the time, at the time, people who are rich, they're the favored by God. People who are poor, they're cursed by God. That's what they used to believe. And to this place, to this culture, to this mindset, God came to say that, no, I came to reach out to you. I came to let you know that my love is for you as well. And you know what he does? Starting from chapter 5, Jesus began to hand-select his disciples. 12 disciples, which symbolize spiritual tribes, new spiritual people of God. And he invites anybody. He invites anybody. Wow. And in that segment, what we find is this place where Peter encountered Jesus. It was great. Through those difficulties, you know, he was led by grace of God to allow Jesus to enter his life. And each encounter he had, he was led farther, farther, farther into the grace of God. And finally, he heard this voice, follow me. When he wanted to say, I want to give up, go away from me, he heard God saying, follow me. Jesus was about to teach him about true worship. Israelites were first led to the desert, the wilderness. You know what was the reason? I'll make them to worship me in the desert. Worship was God's brilliant idea, but it was not about moments with him. It was not about glimpse of his holiness or his glory. But worship was about becoming his people, living with him, being with him, moving with him, dancing with him. That's what true worship was all about. And I desire that for you and for me. Maybe you've been challenged this past week. You had difficulties, you had challenges which may have stopped you from worshiping God, which may have stopped you from fixing your eyes and your heart to God. Don't let that stop you. Listen to God, face to him, allow him to help you, allow him to teach you, allow him to set you in the motion, allow him to be God of your life, to be the Lord of your life, because that was his brilliant ideas through which now he's leading you and me to the eternal rest. I have two things in my heart that I desire so much for this time. Then if you had really difficult time throughout this week to worship God, to follow him, I hope that today will be the moment when you have the jump start. Allow God to for you to have jump start so you can be set on the motion. And the second thing that I would desire so much for all of us is that if you had that motion in your life, I pray that Holy Spirit will help you and fuel you so that you will stay with it, so you stick with it, so you continue to follow Jesus Christ throughout this week. I don't know what sets of challenges are waiting for you this coming week, but those challenges lose its meaning and weightiness in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus can help you. So let's pray together at this time. And I ask the praise team to come forward as we go into the time of worship, the prayers. And I ask you to sing There's None Like You. First of all, I want to let us pray about your past week, your past month, this whole year. Maybe you had a set of challenges that's been following you for many years. You feel like you're doomed by it, and you have some time to time you have allowed that to cause you to deviate from following Jesus. Let's ask God today, God, bring me to that full swing of motion. Allow me to have restoration of peace and joy and passion and love in my life again. God, help me today so that I can worship you truly and follow you, so that my life becomes one with yours. You in me, I in you. God, help me. Let's pray together.